So welcome back. We've spent time now visioning, creating a dream, paying attention to our longing, our discontent. We've tested the dream. We made a decision for the dream. We've then built a deserving, a sense of understanding that we don't deserve great things in life because of what we've done, but because of who we are, and that it is the universe itself that is seeking to express greatness. And we're here for part of that, each one of us. Now, we're in this section that we call the gap between the life we've known and the life we're going to create. And there are three aspects of the gap that can actually cause us to revert back to the gravitational pull of the familiar or the old life. And there are three practices that we will do that will actually propel us forward. So first, we're taking a look at what can cause us to stumble or fall or revert back to an old life. And it's very tempting at times to get stuck and go back and go, oh, you know, forget it. So we're not going to do that. One of those is fear. We've done some work now mastering our fear, learning how to feed our faith, starve our fear. And now we're looking at how we move through the experience of feeling that we really can do this. Do we have what's required? Do we have the support, the financial support, the resource support, the people support? How will we be able to create the thing we want to create? Many of us experience a feeling of a lack of some kind, a limitation. In fact, if you really pay attention to what the major broadcast is on planet Earth, most people live in a frequency of fear, lack, limitations, scarcity, competition. And if you even just listen to the news or read the newspaper, you know that the pictures you're seeing, the stories you're being told, are all coming from that frequency of lack, limitation, scarcity, and competition. And that's the general tone. All the while, we live in this generous universe. We live in an abundant universe. The Upanishads, 5,000 years old, from abundance was scooped abundance, and still more abundance remains. There is no lack of energy. There's a lack of consciousness, and there's a lack of distribution, but there's not a lack of abundance. The truth is, we really do live in an abundant universe. So in this lesson, we're working to open ourselves to an awareness of how we can tap into that abundance. Because remember, nobody makes $50,000 a year because they want to make $50,000 a year. They make $50,000 a year because they're not aware of how to make $500,000 a year. And money is not the answer. Money is really only good for two things. Money is good so that you can be comfortable enough, so you can be creative enough to really give your gifts. And once you get comfortable and you get creative, then the money is there for you to contribute to and do things that make a difference for good in areas that you care about. The richness of the universe, the people, the opportunities, all of it is here, waiting to help you make your dream come true when you get coherent with the understanding and the experience of what real abundance is. So I'm going to tell you a story about a couple that was getting ready to celebrate their 60th wedding anniversary. And the kids are coming from far and wide, and there's a big party planned, and Harold and Mabel are going to celebrate their 60th wedding anniversary. So they're sitting on the porch in the rocking swing, and they're thinking and talking, and Harold looks at Mabel, and he says, you know, Mabel, I've been thinking, and I've been thinking about our 60 years together. That's a long, long time. And I was thinking, remember in the 40s when we first got married and we were wondering how we were going to get through that first year, and we rented that little farm, and then there was that big flood and washed out everything that we had grown, and that there went our money, and that was supposed to get us through the winter, and Mabel, you were right by my side. And then in the 60s, there was this big fire, and we lost all our cattle, and we didn't know how we were going to get through that winter that year, and Mabel, you were right by my side. And then I was thinking about in the 70s when there was this huge flu epidemic, and oh my God, I thought I was going to die, and Mabel, you were right by my side. And I've been thinking about how every time in my life you've been right there, and you know what I'm thinking, Mabel? I'm thinking you're bad luck. I love that story because it's so tempting to think that what's happening to us isn't coming from us, that it's actually happening to us. I remember when I just know this was one of the basic things that absolutely transformed my life was that shift in awareness where I began to realize life is not happening to me. Life is happening through me. That I'm not a victim of the circumstances that are in my life. I'm generating my experience of these circumstances. And we talked about Frankl, knowing that you get to choose how you're going to respond. When I began to realize that life is not happening to me, it's happening through me. And we're going to explore more of this, but this is key to our understanding of the presence of abundance. And the truth is, you are an abundant being of your nature. You are spirit, having a human experience. You are by your nature abundant. You demonstrate that abundance in the area of your highest interest, where you put your attention. So if you have interest in the hurt that you've had as a child, you're going to be abundant in all kinds of hurt. Wherever you direct your energy, you're going to be abundant in that energy. And if you want to know where your attention has been, just look at your life. It's not about being wrong. It's about being unaware, that we're not aware of the power of the mind that we're directing and the shape that that takes in thought form, and how this living substance, this living thought substance, pours itself into the thought forms that are held in mind and energized over time. And it's easy to look at a circumstance in our lives and say, it's happening to me. It's happening to me. Like, look, you're bad luck, or I'm in this awful situation and it's happening to me, or it's the economy that's doing it to me, or it's the family I was raised in, or it's all of this out there. And the truth is, circumstances just are. They are neutral. It's what's around me, around where I'm standing. My circumstances are simply the experiences that surround where I'm standing. They are malleable to my thoughts. Life is plastic. All circumstances are plastic to our thinking. If you and I are in a bad mood, we can walk into a room and all we see is what looks bad to us. Someone else who's in a good mood can walk into the room and notice wonderful things to be happy about. It's the same room. It's in us. What we see and what we perceive is first caused coming from our own perception. We get that power. So we've been listening to our yearning. We've tested the dream. We've committed to the dream. We've built a field of deserving, having noticed that, yes, there's part of this that scares me because I don't know all the ways to make it happen. I don't know exactly how to bring it about. And in fact, if I did know every step, it isn't really the dream of my heart. It's not big enough. And it may actually be something I should do, but not my dream. My dream will take me beyond everything I've known. So the next phase in dream building is this. In this middle phase now, where we're looking at what it is that can trip up the dream easily, is mastering the energy of a sense of lack and transforming that into an awareness of being in a sea of abundance. We live in a generous and abundant universe. There's absolutely no lack in this universe. Everything that's required for everyone to live in abundance is right here. And yet we know that on our planet, there are people today who are starving, kids who are going to go to bed hungry tonight, and children who will die today because of a lack of food. But it isn't because of the lack in the universe. It's an awareness problem, a distribution problem, a greed problem. It's a competition problem, but it's not a lack of abundance in the universe. And the more we become aware of that, the more we are able to transform not only where we are, but become a part of the transformative power that actually transforms our planet. Your dream isn't just for you. You're building an awareness of who you are by building your dream that then makes you more available to greater things occurring through the lens of your human experience. You really are here for great things, and what you are interested in will help direct you in the good you're to bring and do. A number of years ago, in 1975, when I graduated from ministerial school, my kid's dad and I co-inherited with his brothers a blackberry farm in Oregon, and we decided that we would farm that land for a year or two, get to know the farm, and create a stream of income that then could help support the ministry work we wanted to do. Well, we forgot that we were basically suburbia kids and young adults, and we had no experience in farming, and farming was a tough, hard thing. We were growing blackberries and 70 acres of Marion blackberries, and one thing after another didn't seem to go well, and ultimately we weren't on our right course. It wasn't what we were meant to be doing, but at some point we made a decision, you know, we really don't want to be doing this. We want to do something else, so we began to build a vision of what we wanted to do, and I really wanted to teach these principles to people, and I felt most alive when someone else got the idea. They began to realize that they could choose a different life, that they could choose something. They had the power within them, and when they began to discover how the laws of the universe worked, and just like learning how gravity works or learning how a car works. You know, once you learn how to have access, once you learn thermodynamics, you can fly. I mean, all of these are available for us, and it was the most exciting thing for me to see that happen in people's lives. So we got a wild idea, it was something that seemed way outside our ability to deliver it, but it was that the more we thought about it, I remember saying to him one day, you know, if we really wanted to teach this, if we really found a way that I could teach this, we would travel around the country for a year, and I would offer this in all the different places that might be available, and when the idea landed, when you get an idea and you fall in love with the idea, you know you're on track. You know, the fear will say all the reasons it can't happen, but still, you would just love to have that experience. And I knew that I would love to have the experience of teaching others around the country. So we decided to try that and to do something about it. And we decided to really put the laws of the universe to test. So we found someone to lease the farm for a year. We rented our house out. We put our things in storage. We paid off our car, bought a travel trailer. And we took our four kids and our two cats, and we started packing up to head out for a year. We had, when it got down to, after we had paid all the expenses of everything we needed to do to free ourselves to go for a year, my kid's dad decided that he was going to buy some window washing equipment so that if there were ever any gaps between the income I would make from speaking and teaching, he would do window washing, and that would help us cover the gap. And when we headed out, we had a travel trailer hooked to the car with four kids, two cats in the travel trailer, and window washing equipment, and we had $300 cash. Now, some will say that's very foolhardy. It was 1980, we set out, and $300 and four kids and two cats, but we were stepping out on faith. We were stepping out of our boat. We had a great vision. We knew that there was a difference that could be made. And the first 4 months were very slow going of developing workshop opportunities and lots of window washing. And yet we did exactly the things I'm telling you to do. And I could tell you story after story of not only myself, but others who set intentions and then began to follow this process and build the field in which their dream takes course and then comes into being. So what happened for us is we were traveling around the country. We'd gone from the Southwest across the South, and we ended up in Florida. And from the last spot where I had spoken, it was about 40 days until the next speaking engagement I had. From that point, we were booked with so much speaking. I had more speaking to do, more places inviting me than I could get to. But that 40-day gap was a period of time where we began, our resources began to dwindle. I had spoken, we brought in a good amount of income when we were in Dallas, but the next speaking spot was in Florida. And that 40-day gap was really turned out to be an incredibly powerful, transformative 40 days. And you remember that 40 in the Bible is the symbol of transformation. It's not always a literal number, but it's the amount of time required. Noah has 40 days in the flood, and Jesus has 40 days on the Mount of Temptation, and Moses has 40 years in the desert. So as it turned out, this was a 40-day gap between one speaking engagement and the next. And in other states, it had been easy for him to find window washing work, which would, you know, $50, $100, it would give us just enough to kind of keep going. And, of course, prices were a lot less, you know, in 1980 anyway. But we get to Florida, and there's a lot of retired people and senior citizens, and the crime rate was high at the time in Florida. And, you know, who's this guy knocking on my door, wants to wash my windows? I don't think so. And so we kept getting no, 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 no. And we finally got ourselves to the place where I was going to be speaking in about 5 or 6 days. But we had $3 left to our name at that point. We paid the campground the money to park the travel trailer there. And we had $3. We had a little bit of food in the trailer, but we've got four kids. And I remember thinking, okay, I could call my mother in Oregon, my mom and dad, and ask them to send us $50 to just get through the week. And I thought, that can't be the answer to this. Something's, it's like taking the cord and plugging it in the wall, and there's no light. You know, somehow I said, there can't be more abundance in Oregon than there is in Florida. There can't be more resource in Oregon than in Florida. Somehow I'm out of connection with it, or we're not in harmony with the law of abundance because we're not demonstrating abundance. And so he went out looking for a window washing job, and the older boys were watching the little kids and the two younger ones, and I went walking on the beach to go to the little campground grocery store to buy some food. I had the $3 in my hand. As I walked along the beach, I remember just having this conversation, you know, like a little kid mad at God, just saying, you know, I thought we were doing everything that I was supposed to do to, you know, share this message and help people. And I was, you know, in a very, you know, pity party kind of whiny space and feeling sorry for myself. And I remember just walking along, sort of venting that. And then I remember thinking, okay, I just need at least a sign that I'm on the right track. And the moment I said that to myself, I need a sign I'm on the right track, my foot kicked the sand and out popped this shiny penny. And I remember reaching down and picking it up, thinking, well, it's not a dollar, but it is money substance. It's money. And money was the issue. And money was the form of abundance that seemed lacking. It was lots of love. Unfortunately, we had lots of health and lots of upcoming work. But in that moment, there wasn't enough to get through the next 5 days. So money showed up. I picked up that penny, and in that bright sun, I saw the words, "In God we trust." And I knew some part of me that that was a signal, that that was a sign, that was something that was the sign of where I was out of alignment. And so as I walked to the grocery store, I was thinking, okay, in God we trust. Is there some place where I haven't trusted? And I went in to buy some split peas. My kids didn't like bean soup, but they would eat split pea soup. So I went down the aisle and there were two colors of split peas. One was yellow and one was green. They were each 37 cents a package. And I knew I could make a whole meal out of that. So I thought, okay, well, that'll do 2 days. I'll get the, you know, I had some food in the trailer too, but still. And as I'm walking down the aisle and I'm thinking, oh, you know, now that I'm going to spend money on milk and these two, I'm going to have like pennies left. And I said, what is this? And just, and here's how it works. And we'll talk more as these lessons proceed about your intuitive faculty and how you always have access to the wisdom that is exactly what you need at the moment you need it. So accessing this, we'll talk later. But in that moment, I just said, you know, what is this? And I heard very calmly inside of myself, Mary, you tithe your time, you tithe your talent, you don't tithe your dollars. And I argued back to that voice and I said, well, what are you talking about? I put everything on the line. I mean, there's nothing. Everything we get is goes into this work. And the voice never argues back with you. It just states the truth. And so the voice said back to me, you tithe your time, you tithe your talent, you don't tithe your dollars. And I'd heard about the principle of tithing for many, many years, and I'd toyed with it and tried it for a little while and then given up on it and gone back and forth. And even as a minister, I was still struggling with feeling like the money, my abundance, was in my wallet. I didn't understand the difference between the reflection of my understanding of abundance and the real flow of abundance. And so I'm holding $3. And I've got about $1.60 worth of supplies in my hand, the two bags of split peas and the quart of milk. And I realize that if I'm going to tithe on the money that's in my hand, that means taking 30 cents of that $3 and making it an offering. And there was a little, because we were in a little Christian campground, there was a little chapel there. And I just thought, you know, I'm going to do this and I'm going to make a decision. So I bought the food and I went back to the little chapel and I walked up and it was just an outdoor kind of chapel with, you know, four walls and a roof, and it was open in the front. There was a little altar and there was a little basket. And so I walked up to the front, but I remember as I took that 30 cents and I put it in the basket, I remember thinking and deeply committing, I'm never going to try to do this again alone. And I turned and walked out. And I was reminded of the scripture where Jesus said, you know, a branch cut off from the root cannot prosper. And that I'd really been trying to manage that part of my life by myself. I was not working in harmony with the law of abundance any more than a lamp trying to generate light without being hooked into the socket and into the flow of electricity that generates the light. That I was seeking to manage my life without being connected to the source that is the source of all abundance and all energy in the universe. Not entirely, but specifically in this way. In the area of my money. It was way easier for me to give love, way easier for me to give time, way easier for me to give all kinds of things. But when it came to money, there was a constriction. And so where did the constriction show up? It showed up in my money. So I give the 30 cents, I go back, I start cooking the split peas, and my kid's dad comes back a couple hours later. He's just bright-eyed because, you know what happened today? About 3:15, finally somebody said yes. They opened their door. They were having a big party the next day. They wanted me to do all their money, and he came back with $80. Now, on one level, $80 is not very much money, but in 1980, when we'd gone down to for days and days and days, almost 40 days, you know, loose, you know, money piece after money piece just seeping away, and we were down to cents. He walks in with $80. It was like I felt wealthy, and I said, "Oh my gosh, let me tell you what I did this afternoon." And we talked about that, and thank God he was willing to join me in that. And so we took $8 of that $80, and we sent it off to the place where the church where I would be speaking. And I became a committed tither at that moment. And I have never, ever, no matter what the condition or what the circumstances, shifted that in my life. And I can tell you, I've gone through all kinds of things, which we'll talk more about as we spend time together. but never once have I ever not had enough to handle what I needed to handle, what really needed to be done at the time. And the feeling of being connected to a source and a support that is greater than anything that can ever happen to you, you cannot buy that. When Jesus talked about the pearl of great price, he said, once you get this, which is an awareness, by the way, you will trade everything you have for it. Nothing else, that what seems to be in your bank account, what you hang on to, nothing is worth that. So, my friend, as you're listening to this story, certain things will come up for you. And I don't know what this will mean for you. This may be a lesson you've mastered long ago. For some of you, it will be, oh, you know, are you saying I'm going to have to give 10% of everything I get? I'm not saying it. I'm telling you there's a law in the universe. And once you begin to understand how the law in the universe works, you begin to focus on the 90% and not on the 10%. But here's what I do know about that 10%. No matter how much money I have, 30 cents was a whole lot of $3. $8 was a whole lot of $80. When you have $3,000, $300 seems like a lot you're giving. When you have $30,000, $3,000 seems like a lot you're giving. That 10% will always keep you in that edge until you learn how it works in the universe, that actually the 90% keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And here's something I came to learn along the way over the last 25 years. Everybody tithes. Everybody tithes. You either do it consciously or you do it unconsciously. You either do it through active giving or you do it through unexpected expense. You do it through things that happen in your life that keep you in balance and in harmony with the laws of the universe. Everybody. So when I was experiencing lack, it was exactly to the degree of my lack of giving and my lack of awareness. So here's what you can do. If you want to generate more flow in your life, would you not like to live a life where there is freedom and flow in the economic area of your life, where you stop playing the money may I game, where you have to wonder if there's going to be the resource to do the thing you want to do? There's a law in the universe that says the law of receiving is activated through giving. The law of receiving is activated through giving. It's like sitting outside a wood stove and saying, well, if you give me some heat, then I'll give you some wood. If I get, then I'll give. It doesn't work that way. If you give, you activate the law of receiving. You turn the wheel, which moves the universe. It moves the cycle. So just decide to become a bigger giver than you've been giving. Whatever ways you are encouraged or invited or feel that you could give more compliment. You want to give in the emotional field, you want to give in the mental field, you want to give in the physical field, and you want to give in the financial field, which means you physically help. You know, you see somebody carrying groceries, somebody that looks like they'd like some help, an elderly person or a younger person struggling with the weight they're carrying, is offer to help. Now, some of you have mastered that. It's easy for you to give in that regard. But when it comes to money or it comes to your ideas, you may feel more constricted. Wherever the constriction is, lean into it and practice moving into a larger giving. And just trust that. Just like you're giving the soil new seeds, it will bear a crop. It's the law of the universe. It works, and it works always. It doesn't work sometimes. It doesn't work maybe. It always works. So take an inventory of your emotional giving. Take an inventory of your physical giving, how much you are willing to help. Take an inventory of your financial giving. And if you give by feeling, which is when you feel like you have a little extra, then move to percentage giving. Just say, I'm going to give 2% of everything that comes to me, or 3% or 5%, and lift up the percentage. It's not that you're actually now making flow come to you. You're releasing the kink in the hose that blocks the flow that's seeking to come to you. The universe is seeking, ever seeking to freely live its expanded, freer, fuller life in and through each and every one of us. But we block its flow, and we block it through the constriction. So this aspect now, you want a larger life? Your dream is bigger than the life you've been living. You have to become a vibrational match for that larger life. You do that now by expanding your giving, and you make a decision for that. There have been many, many times in my life when I knew that I was right at a crossroads, and making a decision for what you really want at that moment either takes you forward, or if you don't make the decision, it converts you to the patterns that you've lived from before. Remember, you don't get a choice about creating a life. You only get a choice about whether you're going to create by design or default. So you may be at a critical crossroads in your life right now, too. You've listened enough to know that you really do have a dream that you're passionate about, that there's something in you that's far greater than you've known. In fact, it won't leave you alone. We're wired so that if we're not moving into the greater spheres of who we are, we find ourselves feeling less alive, less happy, less fulfilled, and our whole life constricts. When we're saying yes to the dreams that are in our hearts, we feel a greater amplification. We feel more alive. We feel more energized, and things do begin to get easier. So you may be at a crossroads. What do I do next? Where do I go from here? So open now. Open your mind. Invite ideas. What could I do? If I believed it was really going to work out, what could I do? You'll begin to see things moving to you and through you according to your willingness, and it really will make you more alive. This is what you do then. You take the good that you do have and you bless it. Take the good that you have and bless it rather than cursing it. I only have $3. Part of the activity of blessing that was to move into a giving of a portion of it away so that it didn't look so little. I began to feel when I walked away from putting that 30 cents in that basket, I was a giver. I was more amplified. I was now in a different frequency. When was the last time we walked through our own home and just blessed everyone and everything in that home? Or the car that we're driving, instead of looking at what's wrong with it or the dent that's in it or whatever, bless it for the transportation we have, or the bus we're riding in, or the friends we have, or the job we do have. Instead of looking at what we don't have and what's wrong with it, pause for a moment and begin mentally to accept the great blessing that your life is right now. This does not mean you're making an agreement for it not to become more. It simply means that you're moving from abundance to abundance. Remember the Upanishads, from abundance, he scooped abundance, and more abundance remains. So we have to start by establishing ourselves in a consciousness of abundance right where we are. And as we practice, we find our own awareness begins to shift. Our own awareness begins to transform, and we actually begin to see differently. You and I are absolutely and abundantly free to choose to create whatever we want to create, but the universe can only respond to the thoughts we hold. So if I'm holding thoughts of lack and limitation and not enoughness, then the universe answers yes to that. It will bring more not enoughness, more lack, more limitation, because it amplifies what I focus on. It was more than just a tithing of the percentage of our money, that 10%. It was more than that. It was a different kind of attitude about abundance, of recognizing that there is one source, many channels, and taking everything we had, blessing it, calling it good, and looking for a way to share more. And along that journey, when we did that workshop in Florida, the minister, Roy Fox, invited me to go out to lunch. And over lunch, he said to me, "Watch this." And he said to the waitress who was serving lunch, he said, "Would you like to amplify the number of tips you get? Would you like to like double the number of tips you get each month?" And she looked at him kind of like, "Oh, who is this old guy?" And he says, "I have a tool that I can give you that if you try it for 30 days and it doesn't double your tips, I will make up the difference. Just try it for 30 days. Well, that was a no loose deal for her. And he says, "But you got to really do it." And she goes, "Well, what is it?" And he says, "Every time you walk up to a table, mentally bless the people you're going to serve. Wish them well. Wish only good things for them. If it's a family, bless them. Hope for them that they have great connections, that they're healthy, that they enjoy life, that all of their life prospers. Just mentally and emotionally bless every table you walk up to. And every time you're talking to a person, be wishing them well. Just do that. Try it." And so I ask him, "Well, how often have you done this?" He says, "I do this at every restaurant I go to." And I said, "I get the name and number, and I check back 30 days later." He said, "I've never once had to pay a dime for the person who really did bless somebody else when they went up to them." So what happened here? All that happened was that they shifted into a different energy. Do you think their service was actually different once they began blessing people? Well, I do believe their service was actually different, because instead of it just being a job or making sure that the food was served, there was an energy with which they were working. So the letters were just phenomenal from the waiters and the waitresses saying the difference in their experience, in their fun in their doing the work, in the energy they felt doing their work, and in the bigger tips they were receiving. So as Roy finished sharing this with the waitress and we were walking out, he looked at me and he goes, "You know what? I'm just getting a message. I should give you kids some money. I should tithe to you guys to go forward with your work." And I said to him, "Oh, no, that's okay, but thank you for thinking of it." And then he looked at me and he says, "You have to learn how to receive." He said, giving is really important, but the other side of that is you have to learn how to receive. And once you learn how to give, receiving is the next stage of what you need to do to be able to receive from the universe. You know you're worthy by the fact that you're in harmony with the law of giving, but you have to practice being a willing receiver. And when the universe wants to give to you, don't you say no to that universe. He says, I got inspired to make a tithe to contribute to your work. Now you say yes and thank you very much. And that was a good lesson for me. You know, I had been trained to whatever I thought was polite, but ultimately I did learn to say thank you very much when someone gave me an idea, gave me support, and I also knew that I was in harmony for that support because I was practicing the law of giving myself. Try this on. Have some fun with this. Take a look at the many things we've talked about in this lesson. Do your inventory. And then put yourself in the field of a larger giving. You absolutely cannot stop the law of receiving working perfectly in your life.